left off where Jesus leaves the mountaintop with his inner circle of disciples, and they see him in all of his glory. They receive a taste of heaven on earth, and they descend from the mountain and enter the valley that is full of disorder, full of need. Jesus brings order to the disorder, healing to the pain and freedom to the captive, and all are left in awe. We read this account in Mark chapter 9 because it gave such great detail of that event. Today we will turn back to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be reading Luke chapter 9 starting at verse 43, and we'll pick up the story there. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 43, and I'll be reading out of the ESV. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose among them as which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." Let's pray. Lord, you alone are great. You have formed us from the dust of the earth. You know our frame. Our days are like grass, and yet you cause us to flourish. As a father, you show us compassion. Help us today to decrease as you increase in our lives. Give us servant hearts and remind us that we were made for your glory. Father, I ask for myself as your weak vessel this day that you would show yourself strong for your people's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's sermon is "Serve With Me." The scene opens with awe. Jesus had just healed a boy possessed by an unclean spirit. And Luke tells us that they were all astonished at the majesty of God. The crowds were amazed, but Jesus quickly redirected their attention from the spectacle of his power to the substance of his mission. Jesus was on mission, and he did not want his power to cloud out what he was actually there to do. While everyone marvels, he tells his disciples something that would have been unsettling. "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." The disciples don't understand. Instead, of pondering his coming suffering, they began to argue about who among them is greatest. This is an intense irony. Jesus discusses the Son of Man approaching rejection. The disciples are consumed by their own discipleship rankings. This misunderstanding becomes a mirror, like so much of the Word of God is, in a world obsessed with recognition, with a world obsessed with rank, with self-importance, even in ministry. Jesus redefines greatness. Our world is consumed with the issue of status, titles, degrees, offices, and position, to the degree that it affects one's self-image, one's self-esteem and self-worth. Where we live matters. What kind of car we drive matters. The type of clothes we wear matter. It tends to make us feel good about the status that we've obtained and the authority that we have. The last unit of this ministry that Jesus is doing in Galilee addresses the issue of status. The next couple of stories that we read are going to keep pointing back to this very issue. For most, status is another word for power. It is the absence of status that sometimes make people feel like I'm a nobody. But Jesus calls us to abandon this relentless climb up the ladder. In his kingdom, greatness is not measured by how high you ascend, but how low you are willing to bow. Spiritually speaking, the true opposite of status is humility, a quiet freedom from the need to matter, a contentment that no longer counts its place on the ladder. Such an attitude is fundamental for disciples. It's fundamental. Jesus says, in Matthew 23, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. St. Augustine says it this way. Hear this. It was pride that changed angels into devils. It was pride that changed angels into devils. The majesty of God is revealed through service. When the people marveled at the majesty of God, they saw divine power on display. But Jesus wanted them to see divine humility, the majesty that stoops low. He reminds the disciples that his path is not toward exaltation, but toward the cross. The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. This is the ultimate paradox. The hands that just healed would be handed over. The one who just commanded the demons will submit to death. Humility is not weakness. It is voluntarily laying down of status for the sake of obedience. In the kingdom, participation in God's work is not about being admired. It's about being available. Are you available? Jesus invites his followers not to marvel from a distance, but walk the humble road with him. To participate in his mission means to embrace a path of service. That's what part of being in God's kingdom is. And we see here the argument of pride. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. That's crazy. What makes it worse is right after Jesus says, hey, pay attention, let this stick in your ears. It's almost shocking. Jesus just spoke about his betrayal and his suffering. The disciples debate rank and recognition. We see it in ministry. We see it in church work. We see it in everyday life. Who notices? Who's appreciated? Who's important? When we compete for position, especially in the kingdom, we are not cooperating with the king. It is hard to imagine a group of grown men, and not just any men, the apostles, those that are walking with Jesus, are arguing about which of them is the greatest. Their pride stands exposed when Jesus places a child in front of them. A living picture of humility, a quiet rebuke to their self-importance. In that simple act, he reveals how little they have learned about following the great servant. Jesus is the great servant who walked a road of self-denial. Jesus is the great king that showed compassion to others. Jesus said of himself, I have come to serve and not be served. So this example of the child is very important. It says that Jesus perceived their thoughts. So he places a child beside himself and says to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he who is least among you, all is, he's the one who is great. A child in that culture had no power. Like, kids are walking around, in my estimation, with too much power today. My kids used to try to muscle up all the time, the boys. Especially when they got to be like teenagers. One time, this wasn't in my notes. I ain't gonna say which one of my sons, but he'll be coming next week. We were having a discussion about something that he and his brother did. And I'm looking at him. Now, you guys starting to get to know me, like I have a serious face, but it's all love. Well, he knows my upset face. And I'm looking at him, and he says to me, what is that look on your face? My parents used to say to me, wipe that look off your face. He was 17. He was about to go to college. I'm not going to tell y'all part two. He didn't ask that question anymore. But after a couple of minutes, I said to him, "Now, what's that look on your face?" We'll leave it there. Don't share this sermon with him, Jesse. A child in that culture had no power. They had no status. They had no rights. Matter of fact, until a child was 12, they would not even kind of give them status in terms of like the rabbis bringing someone along with them. There was a lot of childhood death, and you were just to be seen and not heard. Like, it's a new day today. Even when I was a kid, I used to hear, "be seen and not heard." So when Jesus brings this child alongside after this statement, Jesus does not view children as insignificant. For him, every single person counts. The words of Jesus puts an end to every debate about status. True greatness isn't earned by rank. True greatness isn't earned by reputation. It is rooted in the simple fact that every person is made in God's image, the Imago Dei. Even the smallest child reflects God's glory. As disciples, we are called to recognize the dignity of every single person, even those that are not saved, even those that are in the midst of their sin, even those searching for grace, even when they don't know it yet. No one is too far gone. Remember that as you pray for others or see people on the street. No one is too far gone. No one is too broken or too low on life's ladder to be beyond the reach of God's compassion. They are not beyond the reach of God's compassion. But you know what the pursuit of status does? It breeds a dangerous elitism. It's like a disease. It eats away at the heart of the gospel. The gospel says that all are welcome. When the church forms cliques and carries an air of superiority, it loses its power to reach those that need Jesus the most. I can tell you this, one of the reasons I came to this church was because it was a loving church. It was a loving church. When I walked in this door, I felt the love, and it came from the pastor. And it went all the way down through the people. The other thing I love about this church is we are real people trying to love Jesus. We're not putting up airs. We're not acting holier than thou. So it is hard for a person to walk into a church for the first time. But as they walk into the church, truly feeling the love, like they're a part of, like we are people loving the Lord, saved by his grace, filled with his spirit, working it out day by day. The moment we start worrying about our place in spiritual hierarchy, we've already forgotten the mission. And what was Jesus's mission? To serve others. And he was calling his disciples, "Serve with me." His power on display was service. He stopped the arguing. He healed the boy. He cast out the demon. He settled the father's heart, and he taught his disciples a lesson. Jesus redefines greatness in a radical way. It is not measured by comparison or competition. It does not depend on someone else being less. Greatness in his kingdom is found in humility, a posture of the heart, seeking to serve rather than to shine. The kingdom of God always overturns every human value system. That's why we keep going back to the word. The word, the world says climb higher. Kick people off the ladder if you have to. Climb over their backs. Be first. Make your mark. Jesus says, stoop lower. Be willing to be last. Be willing to be the one to carry the towel, to wash feet if necessary. You can come on up, worship team. There has never been a person who has descended as low as Jesus Christ. There has never been a person that has descended lower than Jesus Christ. There has never been a descent like his. Others have fallen into sin, but he descended by choice. Others are brought low through weakness, but he stooped low in strength. From the heights of heaven's glory, the eternal Son of God laid aside his privileges, his divine privileges, not by ceasing to be God, but by refusing to cling to his rights as God. He, through whom all things were made, everything was made by Jesus, became part of his own creation. You know how low you have to sink for that? The one who fills the universe with his presence confined himself to a woman's womb. The word who spoke galaxies into existence put himself in the womb of a mother and was born speechless as an infant. He was laid in a feeding trough. The king of eternity came wrapped not in royal robes, but in swaddling cloth. But his descent did not cease at Bethlehem. It continued all the way to Calvary. He took upon himself not only human flesh, but human shame. He was misunderstood. He was betrayed. He was beaten and crucified by the very people he came to save. The Lord of life. Submitted to death, and not just any death, but the most humiliating death known to man, death on a cross. Leaders, would you come up to serve the communion? No one has ever come down so far, for no one has ever come from so high. The distance between heaven's throne and a Roman cross is beyond measure. Yet Christ bridged it willingly. He descended into the depths of human suffering. We saw a small example of him doing that, coming off the mountain, entering the very pit of our sin, and carrying upon himself the full weight of our guilt. Why? Because love stoops. Because love serves. The greatest love is willing to go the lowest. Jesus descended to where we were so that we might rise where he is. Paul says in Philippians, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. We're going to take communion at this time. Communion is for the believer. Even the believer that is struggling. That's why before we take communion, we have a time of reflection. So as you come and receive the elements from the leaders, go back to your seat. Spend some time with God. Think about the words of the song. Think about what God has done in your heart this day by the power of his word. For the non-believer, we ask that you would refrain from taking communion. For parents, it is your job to determine whether your child fully understands what this table is, and if they're not yet ready to take communion, please have them refrain as well. The ushers are going to come. They'll have you come up row by row, take your elements, go back to your seats, and then I'll come back up and we will take communion together. Amen. Would you ushers come, please?